Hello, and welcome back to the Book Cave. This is our fourth episode. We're really getting them under our belt now. We're the girls from the Book Cave blog. We review books. We talk about events we've been to, author events, signings, whatever. I'm Jessica Rhino. I live in St. Louis, Missouri. And one of my favorite I generally just watch like the home improvement shows. I like The Battle on the Beach. And I just like the home improvement shows. They're great to have on. I don't have to completely focus on them. I can do other things. That's one of my favorite shows.
I'm Catherine, and I would say I have a ton of shows that I love, but a comfort show that I go back to all the time and just, I, no matter how many times I've seen an episode, I laugh out loud is New Girl.
My name is Anastasia. I'm from Connecticut. And like Catherine, I have so many different TV shows that I like. It's really hard to choose one. But I think one of my favorites that I often go back to is Parks and Recreation.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I'm Jennifer, and there's a bunch of shows. It was kind of hard for me to choose, so I'm just going to go with what is my favorite at the moment, and that's House of the Dragon.
Ooh. Did you see the newest episode,
yes,
Jennifer?
Yes, so
oh
good.
My gosh.
I think it's been so boring. I'm like, come on, make something happen. I was bored. Sorry.
There's so much drama, Jess.
But it's the same drama. It's like,
will people be dying?
Did anybody die in the last episode?
That's exciting enough for Jess.
I don't think anybody died. Somebody died in the episode before this one, but nobody died in this one.
Well, then there was betrayal in this one.
same betrayal. It's the same though. We're just replaying the same hurt.
It's got incest, Jess.
That's what excites you.
where's the catch for you?
Just reels me in the incest. Can't look away. All right. That's Jennifer, guys. So in this podcast, we talk about books we've read recently, any events we've been to or are looking forward to going to soon, books that we're looking forward to coming out. At the second half of the podcast, we will do a deep dive into one book we've all read. This episode, it's going to be The Shadows Between Us by Trisha Levenseller. Can't say it. But don't worry, if you haven't read it, we will let you know when you need to turn it off so you won't get all the spoilers. First half, we promise, spoiler free. So let's dive in. The books I read this month were almost all second or third books in a series, so my summaries are kind of like the whole series. Because I feel weird giving like a spoiler, or not spoiler, but a review of a book that's the second or third book when people probably haven't read the first one. But I read Blood and Fury by Tessa Bratton and Justina Ireland. It's the sequel to Chaos and Flame. It's the final book of the series, so it's just a duology. It's a YA book. So the first book was crazy. Like, I tried to explain it to somebody. I was like, it was just pure chaos. I'm like, well, yeah, that's in the name. I was like, oh, yeah, forgot. So Chaos and Flame, it starts off real slow. There's a lot of history you have to figure out. There's multiple points of view. One of the characters is basically certifiably crazy, so those chapters are confusing. It follows two brothers who are princes and a rebel girl who is trying to kill the princes. However, when she gets there, she finds out that the one, the crazy prince, has been having visions of her and, like, psycho painting her all over, just everywhere. It's kind of creepy. And so she decides not to kill them and to try and figure out why this prince is having visions of her. And basically he needs her to, like, fulfill this prophecy, and they go on this whole big quest all around the continent and trying to fill this prophecy thing, and it's a wild ride, but it was interesting. It was interesting enough to get me to read the second book to figure out what was going on. But I'm going to tell you, it was pure chaos. And they put weird names on everything. So everybody, there's magic, but magic is called chaos. They don't call it magic.
Oh, yes. Okay, I remember this book. I remember you talking about this, yeah.
And then the gift you get, so everybody who is blessed or touched by chaos has, like, a magical gift. The one thing they can do. And kind of X-Men-ish. And it's called a boon. It's not a talent, not a gift, not magic. You get a boon. And so you got to wrap your head around all those terms, plus all the chaos that's going on. The first book I gave 3 stars, because I guess I was entertained, even though it's hard to explain. And the second book I gave it 3 stars too. I was satisfied with everything once it got there. I satisfied once we got there. The other book I read this month was Burning Crowns by Catherine Doyle and Catherine Webb. One with a C, one with a K. They had to make that differential there.
That's important. That's yes. Important in the worlds of Catherine's. It means a lot to us.
And I'm not one that normally, like, ooh, this book has 2 authors. I'm going to read this. Usually I go, ooh, it has 2 authors. I don't know if I want to do that. But both of these series, we had 2 authors and I read them. So I guess I'm wrong about myself because I thought I didn't read books with 2 authors. But anyway, this is the third book and final book. The first one is called Twin Crowns. The second one is called Cursed Crowns. This is a sister book, and I get annoyed by sisters, but they are separated at birth. The one doesn't know about the other one, and then the one is being raised as the princess to take over the crown, and the other one gets whisked away by the witches, who get outlawed, and they're gonna raise her with the witches so she'll like the witches and know that they're not bad, and then they're gonna switch them, and then the witches won't be outlawed anymore. Great plan, right? So they hate each other for the first book because they didn't know each other existed, and then they were on opposite sides. And then the second book, they're like split up most of the time. And then the third book, which is one I just read, they're fine until the very end. And then they start going, but where's my sister? And I just go, oh my God, we got through almost the whole series without the whiny sisterness. And I can't do it. I can't do it without my sister. I'm like, you have been fine for 2 books. You're fine. But, it was still entertaining. No spice in these. First book I gave 4 stars. Really liked it. Because I guess The sisters hated each other. I was into that. No, the world was really, really cool. And the magic system they had set up was pretty cool, too. So I enjoyed that. The second book I gave 3 stars, and the third book I gave 3 stars, so we kind of went downhill. But it was still good. 3 stars for me is still good. You can tell them that. The other book I read this month was Icon in Inferno by Marie Lu. It is the sequel to Stars and Smoke. I think she's setting these books up to... I mean, they're not standalones. They're in a series, but they're also like, they're going to do this one adventure. We're done. Now they're going to do this one adventure. We're done. So, I don't know. It is a sequel, but that first story is completely done. Now we have to go on a different mission. There, it's a secret agent and a pop star. And they have to work these cases. So they're completely separate stories. Just has the same characters. I love these books. They're so fun. Again, not really any spice. There's romance, but there's not spice. Book one, I gave 4 stars, and book two, I gave 4 stars. Loved them. Read them. They're great. It's not fantasy. It's not magic, which is usually all I read, but they're still really good. That's what I read this month, guys.
Well, this month I felt like Jennifer. I read like 7 books this in June. And I was like, who am I? But part of that is the magic of Libby that has entered my life.
Yay, Libby!
I always plug Libby every episode because it has been so life-changing. So I finished the Lunar Chronicles. So I think at the end of May, I had just finished Ferris. And then at the beginning of this month, I read Winter and then Stars Above. And then I also went on to read the graphic novel duology of Wires and Nerves and Gone Rogue. And so I loved the characters. I loved the Lunar Chronicle world. I feel like I talked a lot about it last episode, my love for the series and everything, and that held true. And every month I also try to read something that's outside of like the my typical like fantasy, romanticy kind of books. And this year was one that I had requested on Libby a while ago and showed up, and it was a fiction short story / novella by Claire Keegan called Foster. A coworker had highly recommended it to me, and I really loved it. I gave it 5 stars. It's a small girl is sent to live with foster parents on a farm in a rural Ireland. It never gives a specific time frame when this takes place, but you kind of get the sense it was, you know, kind of like 1930s, 1940s, you know, like there's outhouses and just, which again, rural areas in the world today, it could, you know, be today's world. But in my mind, it was set more kind of in that era. And then so she goes to live with this other family, not knowing specifically when she's going to return home. And in this, when she's living with this couple, she finds they are so warm. They're so affectionate to her. And they begin to like really have this really lovely relationship, and she learns a really big secret about the couple and their past. Eventually some twists and turns happen, but it was so enjoyable. It was a definite quick read. You could finish it in an afternoon. It was extremely well written. I really fell in love with the setting of the Irish countryside. And the characters, especially the character that plays the foster mother. And it was just really beautiful being told through a young child's eyes. I feel like I read a lot of young adult where it's like a teenager, or, you know, early 20s. But it was really lovely to kind of be in like very much like a child's mind. There's also elements of magic in it, which is very common to Irish folklore. I really loved it. I would highly recommend. And if you listen to it, I think it's like an hour to listen if you did it on one speed, which we know this crew here does not do just one speed. So think of it as like a half hour for Jess.
Oh, yeah. I think it was the Blood and Fury book. I kicked it up to did you know you can go up higher than 2 speed?
Oh, my God.
I do.
On Libby, you can go higher. I did, because they were reading really slow. And I was just like, well, I have to.
I do it more at 1 or 1.25 because it is read with an Irish brogue. Mm-hmm. And that was part of what made it really yummy. And they tend to speak a little quicker anyways. So, yeah, I really loved that. I'd highly recommend if you're looking for something, a little palate cleanser, if you will. And then I went right back on my Marissa Meyer train and read Heartless.
Yay! Love Heartless.
Which is Catherine with a C. Very important that I emphasize that as the main character. It's the first time, and I think since like high school, that I've read where the main character had the same name as me, and it was still weird. But she goes by Kath a lot in this story, and I never gone by Kath, so that also that helped. But she is an eligible like bachelorette in the world of Wonderland. Gave a little bit of Bridgerton vibes in some of that, kind of like, you know, that she was being poised to by her parents to try to marry well. When she doesn't want to go off and be married, she has a love of baking, and she wants to open a bakery with her best friend, who's also like her personal servant, Marianne. But her parents and the King of Hearts have other plans for her, and she goes to a ball and meets the Jester, and a lot of things happen from there. And it's a really, I really loved the story and how it didn't just talk, it didn't really kind of reveal to the reader just how, like, the Queen of Hearts became the Queen of Hearts, but also how the Mad Hatter became the Mad Hatter and the Caterpillar. And I really loved how it fleshed out the whole Wonderland world instead of just, like, how these characters served her story. I feel like it was interesting how she fed their stories to where it ended up being kind of the Alice in Wonderland that you know from the original story. I really loved it. I gave it 4 stars. The only thing that held me back from giving it 5 is I felt like there were things that were really obvious to me as a reader, certain plot twists that I felt like it was excruciating to me how long it took her to figure out, like, oh, that's why this happened. But other things did take me by surprise. There are other twists, and the ending had me in my feels so badly. So I would definitely highly recommend Heartless by Marissa Meyer as well. And I am currently, I just finished Not in Love by Allie Hazelwood, which I talked last episode was a book I was really looking forward to coming out. And I'm about to go on a trip, so I'm going to start reading 5 Broken Blades. And on Libby, I'm listening to Smoke and Stars. I just started.
Yay!
So I'm very excited for that, and that your big recommendation with that as well. Okay, Anastasia.
This was a big month for me for reading as well. I read more books this month than I have other months, which, I don't know, maybe there's something in the air for June. I don't know. But I continued my Bridgerton reading and read Benedict's book. This is the third Bridgerton book. I really enjoyed it. It's cute. They started kind of based on a Cinderella story, and I love Cinderella stories, but I also hate them because of all the, you know, stepsisters and stepmother. They make me really angry every single time. But I gave this one 4 stars, and my current ranking for the Bridgerton stories is Anthony's first, Benedict's, then Daphne's.
Wow.
I really liked the love interest in this current one, Sophie. She was really nice. I don't know. I just was really rooting for her. So maybe it was how much I hated her stepmother, but but I was just ready for her to win. The other book I read this month was What Monstrous Gods by Rosamund Hodge. This is a standalone fantasy. And this one, I ended up giving it, I believe, 3.5 stars. I thought the concept was really interesting and really good. It kind of starts off as this, like, Sleeping Beauty sort of tale where they have the castle where everybody was put to sleep, like, hundreds of years ago, and this girl, she was raised by nuns to go in and kill the sorcerer that put the curse on the you know, royal family, because apparently he was still living in that castle, you know, however many centuries later. And then that is where it starts deviating, and it's like they, like, forced, like, a 5-book series into this one book, and they were constantly different, really interesting plot twists, but at the same time, I feel like they were just so fast, and, like, the one major thing would happen, and then we're brushing fast and just moving right on. I'm like, if this had a whole book of build-up, it would have been amazing. Like, it was just too fast. I don't know. I was kind of, like, I was fascinated, but also kind of disappointed the whole time. Like, it needed more more to it. I think it could have been a really interesting, epic sort of fantasy series, and it just was shoved into one book, and that was what kind of killed it for me. I don't know. I feel like it could have had so... It just had so much potential that it could have been. I could see where you could split the story, like, plot-wise, and... It's sad to not be able to see that story be fleshed out the way it should have been. And the other book I read this month that wasn't for, you know, the podcast or the book clubs was Ink Blood Sister Scribe. I'm sort of joining a book club in a neighboring town because they have a fantasy book club where I was like, I read two out of the three options for the summer. So this was the book I hadn't read yet. So I had no idea what it was when I picked it up. I just was like, I liked some of the other options they were reading, so let's see this one. Mm-hmm. This was interesting. It's an adult standalone fantasy, and the concept starts off really strong, where it's books that are you literally use to do magic, and a family has been guarding this collection of books for like generations. And the first half is really good and really interesting, and then you get the second half, and that's when it's both, again, too fast but too slow. Like, everything, you know, it's one book, so they're trying to fit everything in. So something's really very clearly got sacrificed in this element. Because you have three points of view, so we're following three different characters. Two sisters, and then just a random third guy that makes sense later on. But at the same time, he was my favorite character, and I feel like he kind of got gypped a little bit. I don't know. It had the romance in that series, too, didn't make any sense. For one of the sisters, it felt like it was just kind of dropped in there. I swear she knew this guy for a day, like, not even. It didn't even make any sense. They had like three sentences.
It didn't sounds like a necessary. Disney princess.
It didn't even necessary. I just was so confused, because I also had thought she dropped hints about this one guy with the sister. And then when it didn't happen, and she started hinting towards this other person instead, I was like, that doesn't even make any sense. You gave me two sentences of development before they kissed. It makes no sense. But that ruined it a little bit, too. And it just wrapped up, like, kind of too easily. I'm thinking I just don't like fantasy standalones. They just don't really work for me.
Same.
I gave this one 3.5 stars as well. Like... It feels like every time I read a fantasy standalone, it just doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Me either. This was me for June. What about you, Jennifer?
So, it's funny that you guys had a lot of books. To me, it was a slow month.
Really?
Because I went to go see Jess in the beginning of the month, and then I went to the Grand Canyon at the end of the month. So, I didn't read as much. I read 8 books. Which is still, I felt like, good, but like I said before we started the podcast, I'm one book behind. My goal is 120 books this year, so I gotta keep up. But you guys will be happy to hear that I read 2 books without rereading the whole series.
What?
Wow.
Two separate ones.
How did you get in the feels?
I didn't, but then it's okay. It's fine.
It's fine.
Luckily, I just read, it was Shadow and Storms by Helen Schuler. I had just read the previous book in, like, March or something, so I kind of remembered that one. I also read the Throne, hold on, I want to give you the first book's name. The Crown of Oaths and Curses. I read the second book, The Throne of Honor and Blood by Jay Bree, and I did not read the first one, but I remembered the first one kind of dragged because there was no romance in it. So I was like, I don't have to get in those feels because they weren't really there. But I still gave that book 5 stars. And let's see, I don't want to talk, I read a bunch of other books that I think I talked about previously on the podcast. But The Crown of Oaths and Curses is written by Jay Bree, and she has this great, if you guys are ever into reading a reverse harem series called The Bonds That Tie. And so I was like, I have to read this book, even though she's not done fantasy like this before. And so it has Fae, which I probably 90% of the books I read are Fae, and enemies to lovers eventually, but in that first book there's like zero spice, like I said. And it's super high fantasy. There's a lot of world building, I think, in the first book, and the second book really like takes off. And there's still more books, so I look forward to that. And the other one I was going to tell you about is Trial of the Sun Queen by Nisha J. Tooley. And it's kind of like, not normally how, the way I'm describing it makes it not sound like a book I would have normally wanted to read, but it is kind of, the first book has like The Bachelor versus with like a little bit of A Court of Thorns and Roses. And it's got a really great magic system. The world building is like interesting. It's something I haven't really seen. The worlds are kind of like split up. The places where the different ruling people live are like split up into like kind of based on what the Aurora has, the Aurora lights. There's kind of no sun. The Sun Kingdom has like, you know, great sun. The Water Kingdom, you know, it's all very I don't know how to explain it very well, sorry, but I think that it kind of gives you a hint about what's going to happen later on in the books and like where they're actually going. And so I just finished The Fate of the Sun King, which is the third book, and it ended on a super huge cliffhanger, and I really need it. And she took almost a year and a half to release the third one, so that kind of drives me insane, and that's why I did reread this whole series. Sorry, you guys. I didn't get through this month without doing that at least once, just double checking. Oh, I did do it for Book of Azrael, also by Amber Nicole. That's also a good series, but you guys wouldn't like it, I don't think.
Wow, why would you say that?
Might be a little too dark. I don't know.
Okay, interesting.
I feel like it is like more happy books, and I read a lot. I feel like a lot of mine are so, I mean, they do get happy eventually, but some so eventually. So dark.
We get there eventually, guys.
So much crying. And I gave everything 5 stars that I read this month, so.
Because Jennifer loves everything, y'all.
But
I give everything 5 stars.
No, I'm not gonna like. Okay, that's it. I'm done.
Anastasia, what'd your book club read this month?
So this month we read the book Honor Among Thieves by Rachel Kane and Anne Agrier. I don't know how to pronounce her last
Another
name.
Another two-author book.
Yes. Yes, it is.
We've got a theme going today.
And this was another book that started off really interesting, and then I don't know what happened once I hit, there was some point, like maybe half or like two-thirds of the way in, there was something about the tone that just shifted. So the concept of this one,
maybe it's the two-author thing. See, I feel like two authors wouldn't always mesh right. But sometimes it works.
Maybe. Yeah. So in this one, our main character, her name is Zara, and she's living on the streets in a distant future version of Earth. She commits a crime and almost gets stuck in jail, but instead she is recruited for the Honors Program, which is a group of humans selected by the Leviathan, a race of sentient alien ships. They're like alien beings, but they can also kind of be transformed into ships. It's really weird, but also kind of neat. And they basically go off to explore space as their passengers. Yeah, like I have no idea what happens. Like,
so, like
really
inside of them?
Yes, literally inside of them. I did wonder, like, what if you get digested? I'm pretty sure she actually asks about it. Like, but they eat like starlight or something, so it's fine.
It's fine. Just get in my belly. It'll be fine.
I swear the character, like the main character, actually asked us to be shorter. Like, you're not gonna digest me or something like that. But
yeah, well, it's like, a common question. I mean,
yeah, the first like half, two thirds was really interesting, really good because you know she's going through some crazy stuff. I mean, she almost like basically got sentenced like to jail forever, basically. Like, she does some stuff and almost gets stuck there. And then you get the aliens, like spaceships, which was cool. And then at some point, we just kind of. Just like it just like loses me, and I don't know what happened. I would be reading the book and then I would barely remember what I even just read, and I would just be like going in one ear and out the other. And I could, like, when I finished it, I could not tell you what happened. Like, it was
other than
gone.
She didn't get digested.
No, she did not. I gave this book 3 stars. Like, despite the fact that I read a lot this month, I didn't rate most things above 3.5 stars. Like, it was not a good month for the actual books I chose, but reading wise I did great.
it happens. So I actually did not do book club this month because we were out of town, and I have not been at work a whole lot this month. Like, I have not worked a full week of work, a full 5 days in a row, since the second week of May. So, shh, don't tell anybody. Wow. I don't think they've noticed. but I did write down a book that we read in the book club before we started this podcast because I really enjoyed it. And I thought, I'll just have this one and I'll share this one. But I'm not going to lie to y'all. I didn't read it this month. But it was The Gunkle by Stephen Rowley, and my book club is mostly little old ladies, and I never know how they're going to interpret or how they're going to do some of the stuff I pick, but oh well. They loved this book, and it's kind of rough. Like, I want to say that it was so much fun and it's just a great fun story. It's a horribly sad story, but they tell it in a really fun way. Like, it's horribly tragic, but hey, it's a lot of fun. I feel wrong saying it, but it was. So it's about a gay man who used to be a TV star, but after losing his boyfriend, tragically, he becomes a bit of a recluse. And then after another death of a very, very close friend, he ends up having to take in his niece and nephew for the summer. And they don't really know what to do with him. He doesn't know what to do with them. His lifestyle just doesn't make any sense to them. And it's not just that he's gay, but he's like gay Hollywood, and that's a whole nother thing. And they're just like, what is this thing in your bathroom? He's like, it's a bidet. Don't you know what a bidet is? How do you not get yourself clean? And like, he's just so kind of out of touch, I guess, with the normies at this point. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it, but it's a lot of fun and it's really sad. That's how you describe it. It's fun and really sad. But
so you'd recommend it?
Yes. Yes. And especially, I actually was considering between two books that we recently, read with the book club. But I picked this one because it's more of a summer read. They end up, like, putting up the Christmas tree and having Christmas in July. And I was like, well, that's a perfect book for July because it's the kids stay with him for the summer. So it's definitely a summer read. They have a pool. And they're always in the pool and they're just hanging out. And, so it just reminded me of this time of year. So I figured I'd use that book for this. Does anybody have any events they're going to or have been to? I don't think anybody's been to one, and you wouldn't tell me, but anything coming up?
I missed ALA.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was like, hey, she said she was going to try and go to that. And then I was getting the emails like, ALA this weekend. I was like, oh, I don't think Jennifer's going.
You know, I think it was while I was in the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, I think so. Because I was like, I don't. She can't be in two places at once.
I really wanted to go, though, but that's okay. Because it was right here, so that was disappointing. Family
listeners
first.
Listeners should know Jennifer is a world traveler. So if she didn't go to an event, it's a good chance she's out of town.
It was my first time seeing the Grand Canyon. It's amazing. 10 out of 10. Recommend everyone visit.
But Jennifer likes everything, so take it with a grain of salt, folks.
No. You know what? I can vouch for her this time. I've been to the Grand Canyon.
It's okay. So I don't know how I've never been. It's like right there by me.
There was, what did you, you text something about the airline had saved your place in the movie, and I was like, Jennifer, where are you going now? You don't even tell us you're going. We just get some random text about, hey, guess what, Southwest saved the spot that I was watching the whatever movie, and I'm just like, so you're on a plane?
Isn't that kind of amazing, though? That
where are you going?
The flight home from you that I started watching that Arthur King dog movie, and then when I got back on the plane, it's like still there, and I'm like, amazing.
Amazing.
Amazing. I don't have to scroll and find my spot.
Amazing, like the Grand Canyon, or which would, come on, which one?
No, just like a happy amazing.
Just a happy amazing. Not amazing like the Grand Canyon.
Didn't take my breath away.
I have an event. I don't know how bookish it's going to be. I haven't actually even looked into it yet. But you guys know, my husband and I were just invited to go to Fan Expo in Chicago because of my other podcast that I do with him, Broomsticks and Butterbeer. We'll be doing a Harry Potter trivia on the Sunday. The event is August 16th through 18th. So on the Sunday, the 18th, we will be doing Harry Potter trivia at 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. In workroom number 7. I don't know what that means, folks. I don't know. Just ask somebody. Perfect. Where's the workroom number 7?
Yay, though. That's so exciting. I was very happy for you guys.
We've been to this convention one other time. Well, since it's rebranding. It used to be Wizard World. Now it's Fan Expo. We went up and did a Harry Potter trivia last year? Year before? And there weren't a lot of book things there. Like C2E2 in Chicago kind of doubles with everything. It's everything entertainment. And there's usually a couple of authors there. But this one did not last year that I know of. So I will look into it and see if there's any interesting book things going on. But I'm not going to hold my breath. So what's everybody currently reading?
I think I already shared. I just been.
Oh yeah, you're gonna do.
Yeah, I'm doing one like holding the book, and one listening with Libby.
So are you finish Stars and Smoke, you're gonna go right into Icon and Inferno?
Well, okay, so I just finished Not in Love by Allie Hazelwood, which is a great romance. It was a lot of chili peppers, Jennifer. It was a lot of chili peppers. But Five Broken Blades is my book I'm going to hold in the plane. And then Smoke and Stars, I'm listening on Libby right now, and I haven't yet gotten Icon and Inferno yet from Libby, but once I do, I'm gonna go right into that, and then that's my current reads / next reads. What about you, Anastasia?
I will be finally reading The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
Ooh.
Yeah, I haven't read the book or watched the movie, because I didn't want to watch the movie until I read the book, but I haven't touched it yet. But I'm going to. I have the book. I got it from the library. It's time.
I've got to do it.
I'm ready.
I read that during the pandemic, and I really, really, like, when it first came out, I was like, get me that book. I must read it. Loved it.
I also have Five Broken Blades coming to the library soon. It says it's in transit, so that's probably after that.
Ooh, nice. We'll be overlapping a little. I love that.
I should read it, but I'm not reading my pretty copy.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say my copy from the library just came in today, but then I was like, I also purchased it, but I don't want to read that one. So I'm going to read the library copy. And actually, I did start it. I tried to start it on our trip, Jennifer. I read, like, the first two chapters, three chapters. And then, but we were so busy, there was really no time to read.
Yeah.
And I think I just started it while you guys were napping one day. And I was like, okay, well, I'll got to do something quiet in the hotel room. I'll listen to this book. And I had the book, and I was reading and listening, and I'm going to tell you guys, it starts a little slow.
No, don't tell me that.
But there's multiple people, so you have to, like, multiple people. Isn't it? Well, I know it's five Broken Blades.
I was going
to
say, isn't it? I'm going
to I feel like there's more people than that.
I'll be honest, I have no idea what it is. You guys just talked about it, so I got it.
I only bought it because it was pretty. I have no idea what it's about. I was like, you guys, have you seen this? Look, I'm at Costco.
I'm with you. I have no idea what it is.
So all I know is there's this king and lots of people want to kill him. So it's kind of like assassins, but I don't know that they're all like trained assassins. It didn't seem like it from the first couple of chapters. And they are all like, I must kill this king because of this reason. And then you read somebody else's chapter and they're like, you better go kill this king or else. And then you read somebody else's chapter and it's like, I think I should kill this king. And so, yeah. All I know is I think somebody's going to kill the king at some point.
Stay tuned, listeners.
That's all I know about it. But yes, I want to get back into that. But because we were so busy on the trip and I didn't really get time to get into it, and then my library hold expired and then other things popped up and I got busy. I just got busy.
Okay, but I'm going to need you to read more of it before I start it then.
No, you're going to have to read it because we're going to do it for one of our podcasts. So you're just going to have to do it. I forgot where we were. Jennifer, what are you reading?
So I'm reading Beyond the Aching Door, and it's by, I can't say her last name properly, Victoria Muir. And I just started it yesterday, and it's it has Fae, but it's set in our world. And I think it's been a really long time since I've read a book like that. It's not necessarily urban fantasy or anything. It just happens to there's stuff going on, but it's slow burn, but I could already see it's gonna pick up soon. I've already got my little taste, so I'm happy. Forced proximity, it's a ton of myths and folklore. There's a lot of, like, obviously the Fae, so the Irish myths, and also randomly, like, the gods of the Fae, like Kronos and stuff. What is that, Anastasia? Kronos is Greek. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Oracles and stuff. I'm like, Anastasia is our resident god knowledge. Not Christianity, that's Catherine.
Sorry, y'all, that's an inside Jackbox joke.
I don't even think I was there for the original one. I just, like, leeched on it.
Jennifer's never there for the inside joke.
And also, it's got Faded Maids. Anyways, it's going really good. So far, 3 stars. We'll see what happens at the end.
I'm reading Reckless. It came out on the 1st. No, the 2nd. Yesterday? Tuesday? I have no idea what day it is, guys, because I have not been going to work. So, and I'm off tomorrow. I'm off the next 2 days. So I really don't know what's going on. But yeah,
my birthday. Don't work tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm off 2 days. Then I work 1 day. Then I'm off. Then I off a day. Then I work 2 more days. Then I'm off a day. And then I work. It's crazy right now. But anyway, back to this. It came out yesterday. I'm already 60% done with it.
Wow.
And just listening to the Libby app, because the hard copy book from the library hasn't even been processed. It's not even in the system yet. I'm like, it's going to take too long. I'm going to cancel my hold because I'm never going to get it. I'm going to finish the book long before I get it. But this is the sequel to
Powerless, which I talked about recently, and the little novella Powerful that I talked about even more recently. It left us in a really, really emotionally charged spot. I can't say cliffhanger, because the action was done, but they were both in really bad emotional states, and I was like, what's going to happen now? So the book picks up pretty much right after that, just maybe a couple of days after that, and it's going good so far. Obviously I'm 60% in, but this is the one I told you guys, it just has a little bit of problems with the cliches. I gotta cram the cliches in there. So yes, we got one bed. I think we've had one bed more than one time. And I'm like, come on. Can't you come up with something else?
Excuse me, one bed is one of my favorites. Just a little bit under one horse.
I can't right now with this, because there's too many spoilers. I can't do it without spoilers, but there's so many cliche things in here. I'm just like, you don't have to try so hard. I like the story. I like the characters. He doesn't need to always have his shirt off.
I mean,
like, she even, it's not to the point of a Fading to Blood where she's, you know, calling it out, but she did kind of call it out. She's like, do you ever have a shirt on? But it wasn't quite the same level of awareness as Fading to Blood. But anyway, so that's what I'm reading right now, and I will be reading as soon as we get done and until I finish it. And yeah. And then as far as looking forward to, I know we keep plugging the same books, but later, next week? Is it next week? The Darkness Within Us comes out, and we're really excited for that one. All of us. I'm also excited for A Mirror of Beasts by Alexandra Bracken. That one comes out at the end of the month. Anything you guys are looking forward to? I try to do, like, books for next month, but there's so many this month that I'm excited about, I haven't really even looked at next month.
The books I'm looking forward to right now are Icon and Inferno, once I finish Stars and Smoke,
woohoo!
And The Darkness Within Us. Yeah, that's just...
Yeah, I'm so focused right here. Like, Icon and Inferno just came out, too, so, you know, it's a hot time.
Yeah, I'm just, when thinking about this episode and prepping it, like, I didn't have to research. Like, those were the first things that just I am genuinely thinking about and looking forward to in my TBR. So, yeah. What about you, Anastasia?
Well, of course, Darkness Within Us. I've been talking about that for the last 3 podcasts.
People are rolling their eyes right now. If we have accumulated listeners who listen every single time, they're rolling their eyes right now.
Though I actually do have a book for next month. Imagine that, right? I'm looking forward to The Apprentice to the Villain. It's the sequel to Assistant to the Villain.
Uh-huh.
And that's, so far, the first book was so silly and fluffy. It's like a romantic comedy set in, like, a fantasy world. It's so ridiculous, but it was so light, and I think I finished that just after I finished Crescent City, that series. So it was like the perfect refresher and break from that heavy high fantasy stuff. My brain was just mush. It was great. And I am really looking forward to more ridiculous silliness. Jennifer, warning, there's zero spice in the first book. It's a very slow burn. But it is funny. It's silly and it's fun, and I can't wait to see the next one.
I really want to read that, though. TikToker that I follow, a book talker, is that what you call them? She does, like, cool little skits, but she's really good friends with that girl, and I like to support all of their, I guess her book is not indie, but, you know, they all are new authors, and it looks super good. So I'm glad to hear things pick up in the second book.
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't read it yet.
Maybe.
It comes in next month. I think August 8th.
Okay. I'll wait for your review.
All right.
So I'm really excited. I just found out yesterday that that the two sisters, the Twisted Sisters, that I read like all of their books, are finally coming out with the fourth Darkmoor Penitentiary book. I've been waiting for it for like, I don't even know, 3 years. It's been forever. And they've just like keep putting out other books, which is great because I read all those too. But this one ended on like a super, super duper horrible cliffhanger. And it comes out July 30th. And I'm so very excited. And this is the last open series they have that's set in that Zodiac Academy world. Besides the prequel one that they're going to come out with soon. But anyways, I recommend them so much. Jess, I don't know if you like it. There is some vampire blood sucking.
Absolutely not. You got me one time. And I was like, Jennifer, these are vampires. You didn't tell me there were vampires in this book.
Sorry, I misspoke earlier. I said you guys probably wouldn't like some of the books I was talking about that I read, but maybe I was just thinking just specifically because there is, like, some blood drinking happening in some of the ones I read this month. It's actually a release, though. Anyways, but I'm looking very forward to this, and if you guys ever wanted to, there's not reverse harems in here, but there's definitely a lot of, like, smutty stuff that goes on in some partner sharings in this world. So you're all warned, but it's so good. So bad, but so good.
totally off topic, but you said vampires. I was on the phone with my dad the other night, and I don't know, we were talking about books. Oh, he's gonna try Throne of Glass.
Ooh, yeah.
So we were talking about books. Oh, two things. He said he went to the bookstore and he bought Assassin's Blade, because that's the proper order. You just get that in there right now. He bought Assassin's Blade, and then he goes, I bought this other book that's like won all these awards, and he's like the best book of the year, and it's like, I don't know, everybody's just talking about it. I'm like, did you get Fourth Wing? He's like, and it was not at all. It was a totally different, it wasn't a fantasy book or anything. No, it's just a totally different genre, and I don't remember what it was. That kind of kills the story. But he was talking about vampire books, and he goes, well, this author, he got sick of the sparkly vampires, and so he decided that he was going to write a book where the vampire was actually the bad guy. And I was like, yeah, like how it started. Like, but he said it like this guy came up with a brand new idea that
also
never been come up
Twilight,
with before.
Some of the vampires are the bad guys, thank you.
Is it sparkly. Empire of the Vampire, Jess? Because that one, the vampires are bad guys. That's the one I was reading last month.
I don't know what it was, but he was just very proud of this man for coming up with this idea to have non-sparkly, fluffy, good guy vampire, you know, cuddly vampires.
Sparkly vampire and a villain, thank you very much.
But
I'm so interested to see how you were going to tie vampires to your dad, Jess. That was interesting. I really appreciated it.
But, yeah, I was amused by that, his little rant about this guy. But anyway, about vampires. Okay, it is time. I think we have said all of the things. So it's time to talk about The Shadows Between Us by Trisha Levenseller. If you have not read that book, now would be the time to turn off the podcast. We are going to talk about all of the spoilers and all of the things that happen in depth. If you have not read the book but you're still interested, we do have a spoiler-free review on our blog. It's Book Cave on WordPress. So if you haven't read, it's time to turn this off. We'll see you next time. Get a little bit of buffer here because we'll talk about... Well, actually, I was going to talk about how I met her, how this whole thing started. I met her at C22. And I don't even remember what her first book was that I picked up. But I've read all of her books.
The Pirates one?
I don't remember. It must have been The Pirates.
I think so. It has to have been.
And
I met her, got her to sign the book, talked to her for a while. I think I might have been one of the years. I don't know if it's the first one or not. I was cosplaying as Belle. And so she wanted Belle to read a picture of Belle reading her book. And so we did that. Mm-hmm. And she's just really nice. And she came back. Like, she released a book every year, like the month before C2E2. So she was always at C2E2 promoting that new book. Then COVID came and messed up the rotation for everybody. So that doesn't line up anymore. But yeah, and then I started reading all of her books, and then I started getting you guys to read all of her books. And now here we are talking about her on our podcast. The cover of this book, oh, Catherine just flashed it for us. The cover of this book is amazing. I love it.
It's beautiful.
Pictures do not do it justice because it's like textured and shiny in places. It's just really, really pretty.
And like, connects with the story. Like, it's beautiful when you look at it, but as you read the story, all the details on the book like actually have meaning, which I really appreciate. I don't like when a cover is just kind of pretty to be pretty, or maybe just like sets a vibe, but really like none of the details actually connect with specific details in the story. But this one absolutely does, from like the black like rose petals, and then obviously like that is her dagger that she has on her throughout the whole book. And the background looks like a lot of what I describe when she moves into the queen's quarters, like what kind of like the furniture would be made of, like that beautiful like decorated like black iron.
I'm happy for her, but I'm also kind of sad that they're like re-releasing all of her books with the sprayed edges. And you know, everybody's just jumping on that now, and it's everybody.
Yeah, it's losing its like what makes it special.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I have all of her like first edition books signed by her at, you know, when I would see her at C2E2. She even came to St. Louis one year too. But I'm like, I don't want to buy these. I mean, they're pretty, but I don't want to buy those. I have the first one signed. So, I don't know. And then the new one that's coming out, I did purchase it, and it'll come with sprayed edges, and it's not going to match any of the other books.
So what are you going to do? Are you going to buy the pretty sprayed edges of The Shadow Between Us to match the sprayed one?
No.
For the sequel, or you're just going to let them kind of like be their own thing?
I guess I'm just going to let them be their own thing, because I don't... If I was going to... Like, if I still needed to get them signed, then maybe I would get the new one and sell my old one and get the new one signed, but I already have the original signed. I'm not going to get another one.
Has she posted where she's going to tour the book yet?
No, I have not seen. Actually, I think she was supposed to post it soon, but I haven't been on lately.
I would think so. The release date is...
Next week.
Like you said, like next week, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she would have had to have posted, I would think. So the story, I saw her at C2E2, of course, but she did a panel, and she was talking about this book, and she described it as a Slytherin romance, which could not be a better description for this book.
Yeah. Mm.
The story...
I agree.
Sorry, she did post her tour dates. Oh, she was interested.
Yes. Can you screenshot it and send it to all of us?
Springville, Utah, Nashville, Tennessee, Decatur, Georgia, Edmond, Oklahoma, Oak Brook, Illinois, and Denver, Colorado.
Oh, you know what?
No, comes to Connecticut.
She did. I did see that.
Utah, but not Rochester. Come on.
I did see that because the one up by Chicago, the Oakville.
I mean, this is a really pretty sprayed edge, though. Anyway, sorry about that tangent.
Because then I thought about. So Dan is going up to Chicago next month to help, or no, later this month to help his brother move,
And I was like, can you go by Anderson's and pick me up a signed copy of Inferno and Smoke and Inferno? Inferno Ooh. And Smoke? Whatever, whichever way it goes.
Icon and Inferno.
Icon Inferno. There we go. I've got too many Smoke and Fire books in my brain. Because Marie Lou stopped there last month, and I'm sure they have signed back copy, you know, back stock. She probably signed everything while she was there. But then I was like, can you also go to this bookstore and get me a signed copy of... There's a lot of bookstores you'd have to go to.
They do it.
Surrounding Chicago. Well, they're not all close either. You know, it's not in Chicago. It's out around Chicago, and that gets to be a pretty big area.
Well, they still have Portillo's in the suburbs. He could be happy still.
There you go. I didn't know there was a Portillo's in Springfield, Illinois. It's like an hour and a half away. I can go to Portillo's whenever
I
want.
Excuse me, I have a Portillo's by me. It's randomly here.
randomly in California.
Wow, they've expanded.
It was a big deal when they opened it here. It's way too expensive for me to eat all the time, though.
So the story. What did you guys think of the story?
I first read this back in February. It said, I think it's February 20, 2020 was when I finished it. And I gave it 3 stars. And I was like, man, I must have come off like a really good book or something because I enjoyed it way more than that. But also, I think it was because it was the start of the pandemic. And at work, we were already kind of prepping for it because our sister company was in China. So we had like an idea of what's already going on. So maybe that just put like... The book just wasn't enough to bring me out of it. I don't know, but I enjoyed it way more this time around. So still like 3.5 stars, but whenever I see a 3-star on my read, I always get a little scared. Like, oh, I must have really not liked it, but still felt bad.
That is strange that you gave it so low, because when we suggested it to Catherine, I thought everybody was like, oh, yeah, read that book. We love it.
But I know, so I was surprised, too, to see that. I enjoyed it way more than I thought. Like, the 4 years ago, I read so many books in 4 years. Like, I couldn't remember a thing about it. I can't even remember really reading it. So, but I did at some point. But I loved it way more. I'm changing my thing on Goodreads to 4, not 3.
It was like reading it again for the first time because it had been so long. I mean, I knew the gist of it, but it was kind of like reading the back or some, you know, not a summary, but an extended back book blurb or whatever. But I was like, a lot of it I had completely forgotten and was rereading.
Yeah, I couldn't remember a lick about it, but I really enjoyed it. Sorry. But that's where I'm going with it. I was surprised the low rating I gave it.
Yeah, this was a weird one where me and Jess, when we rated it the first time, we were at least, I was 4.5 stars. I think you were 4. And Jennifer rating it lower than us was weird.
It's like, is she not feeling well? What is wrong with her?
It had to have been like the beginnings of the pandemic working. I don't know. I can't put myself in the place where I was reading it at. So, but I loved
it. She was
way
just
better.
Mad there was no smut. She was like.
But I've learned it.
Dang it.
From her books. So I have a couple authors that I know I'm not going to get smut out of them. Like, I'm never going to go into like Marissa Meyer, like, you know, expecting like, you know, some wham bam, thank you ma'am type of stuff.
But she does romance so well. I will give her that. Mm-hmm. There's no smut, but yeah. I read this 2 years ago. The Shadows Between Us. I think
it was when we pulled you in.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember how long ago that first C2E2 was that I went to with you. Because that's... I bought the copy there. Mm-hmm. I was pregnant. I remember thinking, like, you just told me, like, a Slytherin romance. And I was like, ooh, that's really intriguing. But, yeah, I loved rereading it. I gave it 4 stars. I really love it. But I was also thinking this time, I was like, God, I'm so happy I don't live in their kingdom. Because rereading it this time and thinking about the whole, like, vigilante Robin Hood character, there was never a conversation of, like, well, we don't like him, but we ourselves, you know, will send them, like, the extra food or resources that they obviously need. No, like, I don't like this guy. He's stealing from my buddies. Let's get him.
Yeah.
So that was one point I was like, well, wait, hold on. what about the starving people?
We don't care about the people.
She complained about that guy giving Blakens to orphans or whatever. She was like, it's bad business. Why are you spending money on these kids?
I know, she was so mean about it. I was like, oh my gosh.
So that was just, I feel like I didn't fully, like, the first time I read it, like, linger on that long enough to be like, oh, wait.
Yeah, you were just trying to keep your head above water the first time. You're like, because it's so strange. I think I went back and read my original review for this book today. And I do, Anastasia and I both did one. And, or we did it together. We both reviewed the book together. And we were both just going on, like, it was just so weird to root for her and want her to achieve her goals and be 100% invested, and she's this horrible person.
Yeah. She's a really bad person, actually. Like,
her goal is to, I don't even think we really kind of set up the story, but obviously if you're listening to this, you read it, but her goal is to trick this dude into marrying her so she can murder him and take his throne. And we're like, go get him, girl. Just go.
I thought, though, her motivation to kill the king, like, I couldn't understand where it was coming from. Like, I felt like there could have been, I don't know.
It's ambition and power. What else?
I guess.
Well, and the fact that women didn't have any. You know, yeah. She was seen as property, and her dad was going to sell her to the highest bidder. And she just, and even before that, it was all about her sister. And
but why's he gotta die? Like, why can't she just become queen and get some power that way?
She didn't think that he would give her the control she needed. Yeah. And then she meets him and he's like, yeah, do whatever you want.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally support women having sex before marriage, and I totally support women having rights. I totally support this. Like, he chipped away at that by proving her wrong, that he would share his power and he would see her as an equal and not property or just to make babies, and you know. Yeah. So he slowly chipped away at that.
I guess I just needed her to have more of like a Hector tried to rape her, and then so she stabbed him, and then so men are horrible, and that's why she wants to kill the king.
No,
she gets the power.
But worse, no, he ruined her.
I meant that's the kind of motivation I needed.
She fell in love with him, and then he threw her to the side, which in that society would have ruined her reputation.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't have had any marriage prospects, and her dad would have been, you know, really unhappy. I don't know, he might have disowned her, whatever.
Oh my
and
god, that was one of my favorite parts in the book, was when the king found out.
And he was laughing. Yeah, that was the best.
That was, I think that was like my favorite. Yeah, that was like a top 3 favorite moment in the book.
Like, when he couldn't stop laughing, he was like crying because she killed some guy. And he's like, it's fine. Saves me the trouble. I was going to go kill him.
Yeah, I think that was like a great moment when she was like, oh, we're cut from the same cloth, you and I. Like, you get me.
You get me. You get that I murdered my first lover. I love that about you.
But also that it was so clear to him. Like, I think there was a part of her thinking, like, maybe he hasn't pieced it together. And he was like right away, like, yeah, I see you did this. Like, it's clear.
Plain as day. Well, I was a little disappointed with her when the constable came up and was like, yeah, we found this body and he still had his signet ring on. I'm like, you didn't think to take that off his finger? You're so smart, this whole book. And you didn't, I guess it was her first murder, so. rookie mistakes. She doesn't take the signet ring off. She shoves him in a trunk that has her initials engraved on a metal piece.
That part was weird to me. I was like, your initials are in it and you use that? Like, that I thought was like, now that's dumb even for a rookie.
Yeah.
She might not have had a lot of options, though. I mean, how many things in your room do you think could fit a body?
Like, but pry that piece off. Chip it away. Make it illegible. Scratch it out. Do something.
I've got two trunks in my living room right now, and none of them are big enough to fit a male body.
Right, you're gonna have to cut them up, Jennifer. Just cut them in half, put half in each. You'll be fine.
I would maybe fit if you folded me over, but I don't think you could fit a guy in there. I'm looking at them both right now, judging.
My friends are so concerned about our mental state with the books we read. This conversation right now. I'm like, just
not
the sheet. Just cut
him
up.
Just cut it up. It's fine. He'll be fine.
Oh, God.
So, I have to say, I didn't really, obviously I didn't remember a whole lot about this book because I read it so long ago, but I did not remember anything about the sister. And I've been so excited for this next book to come out. And then we read about the sister and I'm just like, she sounds awful. Why am I looking forward to this book?
Because she sounds awful. I am ready. Let's go.
We only see her through that lens, through her sister's lens. So it'll be just based off of the little synopsis I've read. I was like, oh, she's very different than what her sister actually think she is.
Yeah.
I wonder if she's going to end up being a little bit more Slytherin than we realize.
Than we think. Yeah. But yeah, it made me laugh because I was like, gosh, the way she describes the sister, we should not want to read this book.
Well, it also sounds like it would be a non-book.
I'm hoping we get to see the wedding of the what's her name and the
Alessandra and the king.
Yeah.
Halea.
Because obviously she would invite her sister to rub it in her face.
And her dad. She's like, no money for you guys.
I don't know.
You can watch me get married and rule the world. Thanks.
Let's see. There weren't a lot of supporting characters that were interesting.
I liked her friendship with Rhonda and Hesta. Is that how you were?
Hestia? I think so.
I liked their dynamic as a trio. The individual characters, I wasn't super invested in. But I liked their friendship together. I liked their scenes together. I also liked her scenes with the lords, even though their schemings were sometimes a little confusing. And I think they had the potential to be a little bit like a Court of Thorns and Roses with Vera, with Az and Cassian. I could tell she was trying to make it where they were very jokey with each other and but plot together too. But I feel like they just needed to be a little bit more fleshed out. It wasn't quite at that level, but I did like that she had those other court dynamics, but no, my favorite scenes are of course always her with Callias. So
yeah, that's it. We didn't need any more people, just them.
Their scenes were always the best. I was always so excited when she was and then he arrived. I was oh thank God, because there was a period where she just never saw him, and I was like, I'm dying for another scene of them together. I mean, even though there was no spice, there was good, I would say there was good, sexual tension between them. You could tell they had a vibe together.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was kind of interesting how the book started with her in the bed and everything, and I felt like that was way more descriptive than what actually happened when they slept together. And then it was and then fade to black. And I was like, wait, in the beginning, I felt like that was way more descriptive.
I agree. Yeah. I thought she would have given, in my memory, I was like, wait, I thought there was more than this.
It was very fade to black versus the beginning of the book, but still, the tension was there, and I enjoyed that very much.
Agreed.
We talked a little bit about you wouldn't want to be in this kingdom, but as far as the world, we don't see much of it. Like, we hear about things that are happening outside of the palace. They go outside, like, one time, but we don't see much.
I wonder if we'll get more of it in the next book.
We'll have to, just for the sheer fact that her sister's not in the palace. But she might not ever leave her house, wherever she's at, her manor or whatever.
Yeah, I think that was the only part of this book that I think I remember in my review giving, like, a lower rating. Because I usually like the world building in books, but at the same time, I can kind of see why we didn't get a lot of world building.
We just didn't need to.
She doesn't care about the rest of the world.
Yeah. She really doesn't.
She's got her focus, and it's the palace, and it's the throne, and Callias, and that's it. So, like, why does she care what's going on? Like, if there's some sort of rebel fight, let's smash that down and take care of it. And
right? She's like, destroy them.
Yeah, I get the feeling there's, like, I picture them very kind of, like, European. Like, the countries are all, like, there's a lot of countries or kingdoms, like, surrounding, bordering them. Like, it doesn't seem like they have to cross, like, oceans to get to it, but, like, he's trying to conquer some sort of continent. Because she was talking about how, like, one of the most recent kingdoms he conquered, she was trying to style her clothes from that culture. And they talk about different languages. But that's really, yeah, about it. Because, yeah, to your point, all they want to do is conquer. They're not really, there's no other characters from those other places that they're connected to or that were super important to the storyline.
And, like, no one else has magic either, or whatever those shadows are considered, which I found, yeah. There's more stuff to be fleshed out, and hopefully in the second book.
Didn't they explain how his, like, so many great-grandfather or whatever made some sort of deal with a demon?
Yeah. So it was a blessing but also a curse because it came from a demon and not one of the gods. And I liked the way it was done. They explained it. I usually suggest this book when people are online asking about what they should read, because there's, oh my god, all, like, the newbie fantasy people that have jumped on the Fourth Wing bandwagon are always like, what should I read next? I read all the Sarah Maas books, now what? And so I always say this, because they want another Shadow Daddy, and I'm like, well, here you go. So, Shadow Daddy.
Yeah. But also, I like Callias. I do. I liked his character.
He was fun. They were both fun. And in a very horrible way.
He, I think, is a little less evil than her. I don't know. I can't tell. Maybe it's just because, maybe he's just being progressive for someone in that world where it's very much not. Mm-hmm. Is what I guess made him seem like a little not so, like, off with their heads as Alessandra. I think I just also dug that he loved how mean she is. Like, he loved how cunning, and when she was like, why don't you just kill all these people this way? He's like, that's a great idea. You should be my counsel.
Just trick them into thinking that you're going to give them a vote. Round them all up and kill them. What's so hard about that?
Make them happy they finally got money, and then you realize it's money that you basically tampered with so you could kill them.
Yeah. Easy. I love towards the end, so she gets caught with that bottle of poison, and he's like, what were you doing? What was your plan? And she's like, finally, you know, admits, she's like, well, I was going to get you to fall in love with me, I was gonna marry you, and then I was gonna kill you. And he's like, that sounds like you. He's like, that's the truth, because that sounds completely like something you would do.
Also, what would that be covering up for? What could be worse than me being honest? Like, I wanted to murder you.
I wanted to murder you after I tricked you into loving me and sold your kingdom. All of the kingdoms that you've conquered for me. Yeah. Catherine, you got the book right there. How long is this book?
This book is, I had to move for a second because I had to charge my laptop. This book is, let's see, 324 pages.
It's a pretty short book.
Yeah.
And we kept talking about things, and I was like, that's an interesting point. Anastasia was talking about not liking fantasy standalones. But this is technically a standalone and fantasy. And I don't feel like it was rushed, and I don't feel like it was missing things. I mean, other than we didn't explore the world much, but there was no need to. I think that's something she does really, really well. She can write a short book and have it all there, start to finish.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really refreshing after, honestly, a month of, like, kind of low rating reads to read this book, and I just blew through it, and I was having such a good time, and I was like, this is what I was needing this whole month. Where it was this?
Yeah,
I was trying to slow myself down because I was like, okay, it was like the weekend, the weekend before that, and I had some time. I'm like, I'm gonna start Shadows Between Us. And then I was like 50% in, and I was like, no, I need to slow down. We're not talking about it for over a week still. And then you text, done. And I'm like, well, but I'm trying to slow down. But you made me want to finish too.
I read it all day Sunday. Started at 11. I was just checking my text with you guys. Started at 11:44, 56% in by 3:18. I probably finished it, you know, maybe like 8:30 that night or something. So quick, good read.
Yeah. I think that's to your point why it's so good. Like you mentioning that the beginning of, I also have the Five Broken Blades here, and it's like another 150 pages longer than that one. And I think it's because she doesn't start things off like doing backstory or like explaining, you know, the world or anything. She just like went right in and didn't just gave enough of the world that it made sense for the story and wasn't concerned about like having to flesh everything out and kind of maybe dragging like the story in order to achieve that. So I think that's like part of, you know, why I think we liked it. We all liked it so much because it is, you know, concise, I think, in a good way.
And all of her books, she has a good formula, because the Pirate King, Daughter of the Pirate King and Daughter of the Siren Queen is like, it's a duology. But her other ones are all standalones.
Yeah, the Blade of Secrets, that's hers, isn't it?
Oh yeah, that one has two.
That's a duology, yeah.
Duology.
But if you could probably put them together and it'd be just a little bigger than this book. I think maybe 400 pages total.
Yeah, I feel like they could have been. And the other one, the Daughter of the Pirate King, Daughter of the Siren Queen, I feel like they could have been put together too. And it would just be the size of an average fantasy novel for us.
I haven't read those. I need to read those.
I liked them. Those were a lot of fun too. There's a spin-off one for that one. The main characters are still in it, but you're following a different character. And it was fine. I enjoyed it, but I still just wanted the main characters, you know?
Would you still rank The Shadows Between Us as your favorite of her books so far?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I rated The Blade of Secrets 5 stars. I think maybe that's what I thought we were reading. It was like, the last book I read of hers was so good. I didn't realize The Shadows Between Us have been so long.
Yeah, it's interesting how big of a gap there's been between this one and the one coming out next week, too.
Well, yeah, she explained that at something I went to.
Yeah, at least 4 years.
She said she was... She had something in the works. Maybe it was this one that's coming up. But then they wanted her to write that other one for the Daughter of the Pirate King, like it had been out for 10 years or something. It was like the anniversary of it, and so they wanted that story first. So she had to stop what she was doing and write that story and have that ready for the anniversary date, and then she could go back to this one. And then I don't know, she teased another book too that she was like starting to work on, but had to put to the side to do this other thing that her publisher decided needed to come first. And so she just kind of got her schedule rearranged, I think. And it's like, hurry up and write this other book before those other two books can be published. So, and then, yeah, I think things just got backlogged.
Okay. Well, that makes sense then. Well, I'm very excited. I'm glad we did this reread before the next book. I'm very excited to get it and read it and, yeah, learn all about what's her name? Cassandra?
Yeah, I think so.
Chrysantha.
Excited to learn about her, because initially you think, like, oh, she's all kind of, like, wrapped up, you know, according to Alessandra, like, her sister's life is, like, in a pretty little bow, so obviously that's not true. She's getting her own book.
Yeah, but the Lord's, like, old, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, I don't know if he doesn't make it to the wedding, or dies right after the wedding, or maybe she's just as Slytherin as Alessandra, and she's gonna kill him and just make it look like he died of old age.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm curious. I'm wondering if it's a little bit of that last thing you said. Like, I'm kind of curious if she maybe plays the part of, like, the good, perfect daughter so well in front of the father that she's, like, convinced her sister to. But then you look at, like, some of the, like, things that she did during, like, that whole murder investigation. Where
she told them
that he was just one of your many lovers. And she's like, girl, why did
you tell And that you always that? Carry a knife on you. Like, why would you tell somebody that unless she really hates her sister? Like, was she super jealous because she found out her sister was getting close to the king? And she was like, wait a minute, that's not fair. I tried to woo the king and I couldn't get his attention. I don't know. But I'm just like, was it on purpose or is she stupid?
Yeah.
I thought at first she's just stupid.
Yeah, that's the way they make it comes off. But now we're getting a book about her. I don't think she can be... Or maybe that's what it's going to be. She's going to be, like, totally ditzy and it just happens into these things.
That would be original. That would be something new. That would be for sure interesting.
Jennifer, you asked which... Or I don't know, remember who asked. But Jennifer was surprised I ranked this one first. But I think part of it is because it's so different. Maybe you read darker stuff where the main character is a bad guy all the time. But... I thought this was a very unique story and a lot of fun. The Slytherin romance.
I just went through Google Goodreads, I mean, and yeah, that was the lowest rated one I had done. But I have changed my rating to 4. But I still, Blade of Secrets, I gave it a 5, so I must have really enjoyed that one.
All right, I have to check out these other books of hers, because I think this was the only one I have read.
I like the Pirate Queen, I remember Jess talking about it, and I was like, I don't know. And then I think you met her, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go read it.
I liked the Pirate Queen one, but I don't think I liked the Blade of Secrets as much.
Yeah, I don't think you did. I kind of remember you talking about that.
I think I had a hard time with that one.
I don't know why I loved it so much. It was published on my birthday. Maybe it wasn't a good
Warrior of the Wild too. That was a standalone one. I liked that one too. I like the concept of that world and all of it.
Well, I have a magnet on my fridge from you. I think I assume that's where I got that.
Warrior of the Wild. Yeah, so I think that would be like my second is Warrior of the Wild. Well, maybe the Daughter of the Pirate King, than Warrior of the Wild. I don't know. I liked Blade of Secrets, but there was also just something about it I was like,
And the book you like, Jennifer, that's connected to which series? Or is that a standalone as well?
It's got its own series, supposedly. It says Bladesmith number 1.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 2 books.
Oh, yeah, Master of Iron. I don't know. Why have I not read the second one?
I don't know.
You need to do that, girl.
I know, it's because I just started, well, I mean, not just started, but within the last few years, I put new books that are coming out into my calendar on my iPhone. So then that's why I remember to pay attention that the book is coming out.
That's smart. I like that plan.
It helps so much. And even if I miss a day, like when I was visiting Jess, I can just like scroll back and it's still there. And I'm just like, oh, I didn't read that one yet. So yeah, it's very helpful because I always have my phone on me.
Perfect. Well, this was really fun doing this reread. I'm really glad we did this. Mm-hmm. And excited for us all to talk about the next book next time.
Yes, I'm pretty far back on the list on Libby, but hopefully, I should have it by the time we're doing the podcast, but I don't think I'm going to get it right away like I did Reckless. I got it right at midnight.
Okay.
But we'll see. So hopefully I won't have to wait too long.
Libby, it's life-changing.
I love Libby.
Life-changing. I can't say it enough.
I think we talked about all of everybody gave it their overall grade.
Four stars.
Four stars.
Four and a half.
Four and a half. Woo!
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I reread it because then I'm able to give it more stars than last time Grumpy Jennifer gave it three.
I don't know who that person was. I don't think I've ever met her. All right. Well, then that wraps up our episode. And you'll have to join us next month when we talk about all the books we read in July. And then our main book will be, our deep dive book will be the sequel to this one, The Darkness Within Us.
Well, may the odds be ever in your favor.
No mourners.
No funerals.
Bye, guys.